Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, licensed professional counselor, and co-host Andrea Wise Brown, life strategist and licensed professional counselor, and Sean the Realist. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by talk show hosts or their
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. As always, our show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogues across ages, sexual orientations, religious backgrounds. And so we're going to go ahead and get right into our topic for tonight. Always, we do believe that our topics are quite entertaining. And so our topic for tonight is entitled Angry Black Woman Syndrome. Does it exist? And so I have a co-host that we go way back, and so I don't even really know how to introduce him other than to say he's the man called Moses. So my co-host sitting in with us tonight, because it's Andrea Wise Brown is out, is Mr. Moses Chisholm, psychotherapist, licensed professional counselor, life coach. And the list kind of goes on and on. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce one of our co-hosts tonight. Hello, Mr. Moses Chisholm.
It is a pleasure to be in the presence of Dr. Guy.
All right. Sean, how are you doing tonight? Sean, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How's everybody doing tonight? Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
All right. Can't wait to get to it.
I know. Okay. So, again, here's our question. Angry Black Woman Syndrome, does it exist? Who want to take a stab at that first? Because since I'm the only female on the show tonight, I'm going to throw it over to one of the males and let you kind of chime in on that.
Okay. Well, Dr. Guy, I'll be the first one to respond, and this is what I feel. I feel like it does exist, not just in theory, but I think it exists because I'm also a victim of it. Because being an African-American therapist and being, having the history of working in hospitals, at times you work around a lot of women. And being in the school districts, at times, you know, I've worked around a lot of women. And I'm going to be honest, it's bad to say, but the number one people that has oppressed me, it has not been a man from another different color, but it's been my own African-American sister due to this angry syndrome. So I think it exists because I'm a victim of it.
Did you say you're a victim of the angry black woman syndrome?
Yes, I think in my career, I've been counseling for over 21 years, and I've worked in different places such as the hospitals, treatment centers, and I'm gonna be honest with you. When I come across an angry black woman in this field, and I'm talking about a therapist, a nurse, a doctor. They are very angry and bitter, and it's hard to work with them. And I have to let go of a lot of great jobs due to working beside an angry black woman.
Oh, you used the word angry and bitter. That's pretty harsh.
Correct. Okay. Well, when you look at the syndrome is a pattern of characteristics I'm coming up with this book now that I'm writing. It's called The Six Pain Languages. And one of the pain languages is anger. And believe it or not, bitterness is anger that's frozen. It's like frozen anger. So that's what I call the angry black syndrome. It's really a state of bitterness.
Okay. All right. So you're saying yes. You believe that there's this such thing as angry black woman syndrome, and as a result, it affects how black women have interacted with you in the past.
Correct.
All right. All right. Sean, what are your thoughts? Do you think there's a such thing as angry black woman syndrome?
Well, I have experienced women in all genres, because, you know, I'm like your boy. I date the Benetton flag. So I wouldn't be in agreement with this gentleman as it relates to an angry black woman syndrome. I mean, that's like saying if there's an angry black woman syndrome, then there's like a quiet Asian woman syndrome or a fast-talking Latino syndrome. Like, you know, every time we have qualities or characteristics that may not be positive, I think we have a propensity to create a syndrome, whether it be ADHD. If we think back into 1953, being gay was considered a mental disorder, and it wasn't changed until 1973, if I'm not mistaken. And even now, we have talks of bestiality and zoophilia, as well as being a pedophile as being a preference. So with those things being said, I would like to kind of speak to Moses how he defines the word syndrome.
Well, in my research and the 21 years of counseling, what I've learned that everyone or every culture has a particular language of pain. And pain language is a pattern of pain that a culture or a person have experienced all throughout different developmental stages of their existence. So if you look at a black woman and if you look at the pattern of pain, first of all, she wasn't even considered to be a human being. And I'm not talking about a human being in society. I'm talking about at home with her husband. You know, if you look at the black man and how they treated a black woman, what would be good for to get pregnant and cook in the kitchen? So a black woman was devalued in her home. And because of that, a pattern of pain has been characterized to create the syndrome. And then, if you look at society, society doesn't respect the black woman. So it's though the black woman have to fight harder to prove that she has an equal identity. And in that fight, she developed this syndrome of distrust and anger, where she want to be independent, but she lost her individuality. So in my years of experience in treating African-American women and working with them at the same time, a lot of them are bitter because of the history of abuse. And that's why I come up with this pattern of pain, and that's why I believe there are a lot of strong African-American black women who suffer from bitterness.
All right. It's interesting that you, Moses, that you talked about, you kind of touched on some of the historical content as it relates to possibly why African-American or black women present with this angry woman syndrome. And so you talked about kind of like throughout the years they've experienced this pain and now it's kind of carried over, and as a result they're bitter. And so when we did this show a couple years ago, I remember us talking about it. We looked at it from a historical standpoint, and we mentioned that as early as the 1800s, black women had been depicted in negative roles. You have the image of the mammies who were so busy taking care of the masses' children that their children went neglected. That image of the mammies kind of spin out into later on. You had the Amos and Andy story, for those of you that are old enough to remember that. It was the Amos and Andy story, and in this comic relief, I guess, was what it was, but there was a black woman by the name of Sapphire Stevens, and Sapphire Stevens was loud, she was boisterous, she was degrading to her husband, and it was supposed to be comical. and yet her husband had no voice. And we're talking about a sitcom that was early as the 1930s or 1940s. And so now here we are in 2015 talking about this same type of loud, boisterous, stubborn type of woman, and now it's called a syndrome. And supposedly black women have it. Like, I hear African-American men quite often saying that black women have attitudes and they're too sassy and they roll their necks and, you know, they have too much to say. And I'm wondering, do black men ever take into consideration the things that black women experience, and maybe they can think about why these black women are angry?
You gonna answer that, Big Mac?
Sure, you can answer it, Sean. You can answer it because you're African American.
Sean, what you think about that?
I mean, I think that that is just pretty much in your literary archetypes. There are certain types of characters that are present, whether it
Correct.
Be the mammy, whether it be like the magical sage that's a Negro, you know. Even if you look at one of my favorite shows, House of Cards, they have one of those characters, you know, who owns a barbecue joint. And the president comes and he talks to him for advice. So, I mean, I think there are certain literary devices, but I'm still going back to I'm not too sure if we're talking about the same thing. I think, you know, you are correct that they might be different pain languages, but for something to actually be classified as a syndrome, I would think there'd be some medical implications. So perhaps it may be diet-related. You know, maybe it's too much testosterone, not enough estrogen. But, you know, it's kind of like in African-American culture, we talk about, you know, crabs in the barrel syndrome, right? You know, we're all familiar with that. Well, the barrel is not the natural environment for a crab. So if we're talking about, you know, it's not really a syndrome, it's just in the wrong environment, you know. And, like, when we talk about black women, you know, I've traveled, and, you know, black women may not be appreciated in the United States, but I can tell you there are a lot of other countries where they're, you know, held in high esteem. So, you know, I'm still not on board with a syndrome. They might be certain conditions, but, you know, it's kind of like if you have one child that you spoil, then the other child might act out. It doesn't mean that, you know, the other child has ADHD. It's just the situation or the environment's been created.
So if you look at it, what is the definition of a syndrome? When I pull it up, it says a syndrome is a set of signs and symptoms that appear together and is characterized as a disease in a medical condition. So if you look at the symptoms and the signs, not all African-American females, but a lot of African-American females have suffered oppression and abuse. And if you look at it, they're still trying to always find themselves and to be equal when it comes down to our society. So I think it is a consistent of abuse that's still taking place, not just in an external way, but an internal way when it comes down to the African-American female. They have to work harder when they come to school. They have to work harder when it comes down to getting their jobs, to get paid the same as a male. And then if you look at the big oppression is in their home. There's a lot of African-American females that's been abandoned by people who so-called supposed to love them. So I think there is a consistency of abuse that's taking place among our African-American sisters that's causing this set and this pattering of pain. And that's why I think it exists.
Well, can I, if we're calling this a syndrome, then is there some type of medicine for it? If I have, you know, angry black woman syndrome, is that covered under my insurance? I mean, I guess that's why we want to say
it's called anger management. It's anger management.
That is,
and you can get,
you know, that
you
is,
can go. I'm sorry. Go.
No. I'm intrigued.
No, it's anger management. It's stress management. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. See, although we say angry woman syndrome, there is a condition because it produces post-traumatic stress disorder. Because just say if a black woman was abused in her relationship with her husband, because she picked the same type of husband that she had, similar characteristics that her husband had, her father had, because her father abused her. Then she go to work, although she has a PhD in front of her name. Her job abused her. So therefore, it will create anxiety disorder, and you can build that. It will create post-traumatic stress disorder. So I think the angry woman syndrome is a symptom to a bigger issue that you can find in the DSM-4. And I'm going to be honest with you. It can create what we call personality disorders. And the main people that I've came across with this angry syndrome is borderline personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be
that's
built.
The case, why can't we just label it as the anger issue and not black women? Like, to say it's black women, to me, that indicates there's something specific that is not present in all women. Like, say, for instance, the examples you gave, if any woman was abused by her husband, it's not, you know, like I said, Asian anger syndrome. Like, I'm confused on why we're separating it from any condition that would be associated with any traumatic event.
Okay, Sean, let's look at it. Sean, you asked the question, why are we not specifically labeling, like, Asian woman syndrome, quiet Asian woman syndrome, or something of that matter.
Right.
If you look at ethnic groups, right, let's say you look at the Latino population, you look at the Asian population, you look at the African-American population. When you look at minority groups, all minority groups, with the exception of the African-American, are all hierarchy in nature, and the head of a household is considered to be the what?
The male.
The male, except for in the African-American family. The African-American is
correct.
The only minority group that is matriarchal. So when you say what's the difference, what delineates African-American women from Asian and Latino and any other group of women, it is because by history, African-American women are the heads of their households. I cannot say that about the Asian culture. I cannot say that about the Latino. And, of course, we're not talking about every single woman, because there are some
correct.
Asian and Latino women that are heads of their households. But by culture and historical content, the African-American culture is matriarchal. So now you're talking about women that are carrying the burden that men and other societies are carrying. And not only are black women carrying the burden, but they're carrying it by themselves in isolation. There is no other ethnic group, or any group for that matter, that has 70% of their children living in single-parent homes headed by women.
That's a great point.
I still think those are excellent points, but I don't see the pathology. I mean, those are physical conditions. So if you can tell me mental illness can be treated with lithium, you need to be able to tell me what this angry black woman syndrome is treated with. Like, if it's a syndrome, there has to be some pathology and something that can be given to alleviate the stress or whatever is determined to be the factors that create the stress.
Well, you can if the angry black woman, or when I say angry, I look at it as emotion or a mental wound, because that's what anger is to me. And if you look at anyone being angry, especially African-American a lady, it's because they've been wounded. And if you look at it, it's so real, because if you see when it comes down to the Academy Awards, we have, I think, I think about three African-American females that have won the Academy Award. Monique, and she was an abusive, black, angry woman. She won. Halle Berry, she played as a weak African-American female in the movie Monster Ball. And the 7 years of slavery, this woman played as a slave. So if you look at it, the black woman is the only woman that's been awarded these Academy Awards in playing the syndrome. And that's how you know it exists. Name one African-American woman that played a good role and that was complimented based off of her acting ability and not just the angry black woman role.
Well, I think what we're doing is we're confusing two different things. If you want to discuss the propaganda of how black women are portrayed, then you're absolutely correct. But I also think by you creating a black woman syndrome, you're perpetuating the same propaganda that we're discussing with the Academy Awards. If you want to empower that there's a black woman syndrome, which is separate between any other situation where there's abuse or anger involved, then you're just as much a part of the problem as the rest of the propaganda that's being spread.
I hear what you're saying, Sean, and it is not the intent to perpetuate the idea behind the whole angry black woman syndrome, but I believe for me it's about validating that experience for the black woman. And I think that's where the anger kind of stirs up and it boils over, because many times black women are, before their stories are even heard and understood, they're perceived to be a certain type. So, for example, if you ask a group of African-American women that are single, let's say, a group of single African-American women, you know, have they ever been told by a man that, let's say, is dating someone other than an African-American woman, that he doesn't date black women because black women are too aggressive, you would probably get at least 90% of the women are going to raise their hands and say they've heard that, because this is something that they have heard numerous times over and over again, again, without the male counterpart even understanding where this anger is coming from. So when you talk about, like, is there a cure, is there a treatment, yeah, there's a cure, there's a treatment, but again, first we have to identify what it is. And with anything else, when you talk about mental illness, everyone has a predisposition for something, whether it's a predisposition for depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, to be an alcoholic. We all have that. Like, it lies dormant in our genes. I don't know any individual that does not have something of that nature running in their bloodlines. But because of the whole nature nurture and the individual's ability to develop coping skills, some people have the genetic gene and it's not triggered. So they're able to experience all these traumatic experiences, go through the pain, and yet still not become this angry black woman. But then the other woman who experiences quite the similar things in her life, it triggers the gene because she was already had a predisposition for it because her mother had it and her great-great-grandmother, again, because it's talking about these things that we're passing on through the lineage, and as a result, it's activated her gene. She's this angry black woman, and as a result, her symptomology looks like depression. It looks like suicidal ideation. It looks like increased anxiety. It looks like what Moses talked about when he said personality disorders, borderline disorder, PTSD. So when you say what do we treat or how do we treat black angry or angry black woman syndrome, we treat the symptoms just like we treat the symptoms with any other mental disorder.
And I think how we can eliminate the symptoms is first of all, you're going to, African American women are going to have to begin to rise up and say, this is not who I am. Now, this is what I've been conditioned to be, because ultimately what separates a healthy human being from a negative human being would be the way they cope. So it's about coping skills. And if someone has been abandoned and abused majority of all their lives and no one has ever taught them how to cope, they're going to have negative coping skills. And it was one woman, she was 85 years old, and she came to my office crying because she was married for 55 years, and her husband just died. And when she came in the office, she was angry. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, my husband was abusive. He abused me. I had all these kids. I put my life on the line, and I have nothing to show for it. And I said, well, are you grieving over your husband? She said, no. I'm grieving because I'm 85 years old and I don't even know my purpose. So I totally understood. And only thing that I can tell her is it's never too late to understand how to cope better. So one of the ways that we can heal, other than medicine, we can teach a lot of these angry women how to effectively express themselves so they don't stay angry.
Well, I still want to echo that
you know, that's more of a generational thing than a black woman thing. That's a situation you'll find across all cultures for that age group. And I think, once again, we need to revisit what it is that causes the fatigue, whether it's adrenal fatigue, is it an inactive thyroid? And I think it's still perpetuating the victim mentality that is black women exclusively. Black women have gone through things just like every other woman in every other culture and society, whether it be the Aborigines, Australians that were in the debtors' prisons, the potato eaters, you know, the Indian women that came and betrayed the tears with the smallpox on the blanket. It's still the same consistent idea, but it still needs to be something that we can identify, you know, whether it be medical. Maybe it's there. They are subjected to too much stress, so their adrenal glands are burnt out. But I need something more than we just made, because we're black people, and we've been through stuff.
Well, if you look at how the brain operates, okay, the first thing that operates when it comes down to a baby is the limbic system. And we call that the primitive part of your brain, and it's over the images, it's over your emotion, and it's over your instinct. And that's why when a baby comes out, ultimately no one has to tell them or teach them how to suck, because it's instinctive. So if you take an African-American female who did not get the loving, caring parents, majority of the women that I treat, is 85% of the people I treat are African-American women. The majority of these women have told me they were abandoned by their father. So they didn't even get the normal care that all humans, not just human, but animal needs. So what it can affect their brain, meaning instead of them being more frontal lobe driven, your frontal lobe is behind the rational and the logical part of your thinking. So if you keep a person in a primitive mindset, they have a tendency to stay in the fight or flight response, where they are living in the survival mode, and we call it jungle mentality. So I think psychologically what happens is women, especially in the African-American community, needs are not being met. They're more primitive-led. They're more instinct-led. They're more emotional-led. They're more image-driven layer instead of being rational. And that's why you got a lot of successful, educated, image-driven women. But if you talk to them, they're lonely. They're depressed, because what is success if you don't have no one to share it with? So the answer to your question, how it affects the brain, you have a tendency to be more primitive than logical, because of the history of abuse and the pattern of pain, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I was speaking to initially. And, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but do you think that you think there's a black woman syndrome specifically because your niche, you see black women as a majority and not collectively all women? You know,
Well, in the whole 21 years of experience of counseling, I have treated all women, because I work in many different treatment centers. So it's not just African-American women that I've treated, but it's more African-American women that I've seen in my private practice. But even in the hospital, I've seen a lot of white women that have been through different forms of abandonment. But I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. There is a consistency of abandonment and abuse and confusion and fear and anger among African Americans. Because if you look at it, majority of our churches are ran by women. Okay? If a pastor wants a good church, get some good women, especially in the African American community. They are held down by women. But if you look at it, even in the African American churches, a woman can't preach in some religion, in some denomination, but they good when it comes to raising funds. So even in our own culture, we demoralize our women, and I think this is why this syndrome exists, because within our own race, we devalue our women. We leave them, we rape them, a father abandoned them, and then they take this mentality, well, I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to prove to you guys that I don't need you. And that's where you have this independent woman who really says she don't need anyone, when inwardly she needs someone. It's just she can't really trust. So it's just not the people I've treated in my practice, is everybody that I've treated. But I'm going to be honest, the pain that I've seen that hurts the most is in the African-American community.
Well, with that being said, religion, let me say this real quick, Dr. Guy. With religion being more of a discipline that is more appealing to women, then you're going to find more women in that discipline than men. I did also echo the same sentiment that you said in terms of brain development and dealing with that fight-or-flight syndrome, as we talked about, maybe undernourished adrenal glands or malfunctioning adrenal glands as well as your thyroid. So if those are things that we can look at, then perhaps I might be able to agree with you. But, you know, based on the examples you've given, I'm still not on board.
If you use examples of the fight or flight, which is really what they're basing PTSD off of, and when they talk about soldiers who are returning back from war, and they're always in this fight or flight mode, which says, I'm always on alert, and so I'm living my life as though I'm in danger. So anybody that comes near me, I'm on defense mode. So when you use that example and you compare it to black women who are living their lives in fight or flight, I'm always on the defense, and I'm making sure that you don't harm me, because my belief is that I've been harmed so much. So before you even get an opportunity to get close to me, I'm going to attack, because I'm in flight. I'm in fight or flight mode. So I never go back to that homeostasis that says I'm going to allow you to get to know me, to even develop a relationship with me, so that you could potentially help me or be someone in my life. Whether it's an intimate, a platonic relationship, it's difficult to happen. So when you talk about, you know, is this just for black women and not other women? Well, definitely other women experience traumatic events. I am definitely not saying that. But what I think is different when you, again, now look at some systemic issues, when you talk about therapy, whether it's counseling, anything related to psychotherapy, counseling, getting some help, it's taboo in the black culture, just off the top. I'm not going to talk to nobody because I ain't crazy. But when you look at other cultures who experience trauma, abuse, and these things that we're saying black women experience, they're open to going to get help and talking to someone and saying, I can't do this by myself. So, again, you're talking about, and you said, why is it specific to black women? That's another reason why it's specific to black women, because they're less likely to seek out help or even say, I need help.
And one of the reasons why is because of the distrust factor. And that was conditioned. That was a conditioned mindset that was created through the Willie Lynch philosophy during slavery. Because he the one, this man is the one who wrote to the slave master, if you want to keep your slaves intact, create distrust among them. And that's why, if you look at it, African American women were just serving the men that they fell in love with, but they will be raped by their masters, you know. So I just think when it comes down to the African-American women, they are the only race who have been through and still they are going through, and just to feel equal. So they're not angry because they want to be angry. This syndrome is not there because they've taken pills to stay that way. I think it's happening because there's still a fight to just be human, you know. So I think that's why it exists. What more can I say to convince you that this is a problem that exists, not because they want it to exist, but this is the cause, this is the effect behind a cause?
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, and perhaps because I'm not a therapist and I view things a little bit more skeptically, you know, anything that you want can be a syndrome. You know, black men were raped as well. Like, you know, there's not a lot of talk about it, but, you know, those were things that happened during slave times as well. There's always an impetus or an event that we can tied to a specific behavior. So, you know, whether it be the situations that we ran across in slavery, you know, we can sit here and talk about what they were and say, well, hey, this is why I act like that. I'm angry because I've been a slave. You know, I'm angry because the settlers came and took the Indian land. You know, like, so whatever set of circumstances you want to create for, you know, the agenda or the propaganda is fine, but I still think it should fall under the greater label of just, you know, traumatic experiences or the PST that Dr. Guy talked about. I don't think we need a specific syndrome. You know, that's kind of like either Down syndrome or, you know, Asperger's syndrome. That doesn't fit with me when I hear black woman syndrome. Like, it just doesn't fit because it would seem there's something genetic. And it's not genetic. It's more of a circumstantial thing, which you can change the circumstances.
Is it not genetic, though?
No.
I think part of it, when you say it's not genetic, though, that whole idea behind nature, nurture, what we inherit genetically and what we learn from our environment, I think it's the combination of both. I can't rule out one and say that it's not.
Well, I'm saying scientifically, I haven't heard anything to make me think that it's like sickle cell disease and you have some factor on your blood that's related to having some immunity to mosquitoes. Like, I haven't heard anything scientific.
Okay. I'll go with
that. If you look at the word syndrome is not a disease, okay? Syndrome is not a diagnose in this country that we're talking about, okay? A black woman syndrome is saying a black woman symptoms, because the syndrome, just the definition of a syndrome, is just a consistency of symptoms that points to a disease. Okay, so we're not saying that there's a black woman disease and you can catch it like a virus. We're saying that there are symptoms that black women have experienced and throughout times, for history, in the family, in the churches, they keep experiencing this symptom, and it can point to post-traumatic stress disorder. It can point to borderline personality disorder. So it's different from, saying the syndrome for it's a genetically, that's a disease. What we're talking about is more of symptoms that black women have experienced that can point to other mental health issues, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about we say that there are certain symptoms that lead to the expression in pain in different cultural groups without using a word called black woman syndrome. I still feel like that's empowering the propaganda to put more or less us back in the crabs in the barrel situation. Like, you know, the crabs don't belong in a barrel. They belong on the ocean floor. So if we create a situation which is conducive for black women to thrive, or women in general to thrive, instead of corralling them and putting them in the angry black woman barrel, that makes a lot more sense to me.
Like, I don't think calling it, you know, a syndrome, what's the best? Like, I don't think it prevents black women from moving forward or beyond that. I think for me, when I hear it, it tells me that people are acknowledging that black women are experiencing discomfort. And as a result of these myriad of experiences, they are angry, but they have every right to be angry. And I guess that's why I'm on board with the whole concept behind angry black woman syndrome, because I feel like people need to know I am angry and this is why I'm angry, because you don't want to understand my story. Like, prime example, and you two probably don't even watch this show, but I love me some Mary Jane. Being Mary Jane.
Yeah,
and so, okay, I think it was the last episode, there was a powerful attorney, I guess, African-American man, and he sits in his car, and all of the police are around him, and they're like, well, what is he doing? And so no one knows what happens, and he commits suicide in his car. And there's another gentleman that Mary Jane, I cannot remember his name, but he's like a successful attorney, entrepreneur, and he says, I knew this was coming. It happened to me. And he goes on to say how corporate America smuggles black men, and the struggle is real. And you're going to probably see more and more black men committing suicide because it is so difficult. And it's, you know, more difficult than you can imagine. And so Mary Jane looks at him, and she's like, are you serious? Do you think it's more difficult to be a black man than it is to be a black woman in corporate America? And he's pretty much like, yeah. And she kind of goes on to say, no, let me tell you about what my experiences are. And so for me, I feel like that's what angry black woman syndrome does. It allows people to understand, yeah, your struggle is real, but truly understand that my struggle is just as real as yours, and I have a right to feel the way I feel.
I agree. And it's exposing. I'm sorry, Sean. Let me just add to it, then I'll throw it right back to you. It's only exposing the symptoms. And if you continue to go through the same symptoms, it's going to create something. It's going to create some psychological defect. It doesn't mean that you have a brain disorder, but if you're more driven by your primitives because you always in the fight or flight, that's a syndrome.
Okay. Well,
I mean, you know, not to get on some of my favorite shows that we watch, Being Mary Jane, Scandal, Empire, where we have created an acceptable culture of addictive dysfunction.
Correct.
You know, because I've watched Empire, and there's every traditional stereotype that has ever been created about a black man or black woman present, and it's the number one show. It's not the number one show because there's that many black people. It's because the propaganda has been generated of that's how black people are. All the black people in America can watch Empire. It ain't one. It's not us. So that's what I'm still saying is once we perpetuate and agree to the propaganda, which we're doing with Being Mary Jane, Scandal, and Empire, you know, this is how we're perceived. So when we create the black woman syndrome, whether it be because of certain set of circumstances, it to me that, so can an Asian woman have black woman syndrome? Can a Latino woman have black woman syndrome if they're within the consistent symptoms that are present that you've outlined? I still think we need to leave it without labeling it culturally.
But to label, to not label it is to not communicate the struggles that black women have been through. You can't deny, even in these shows, Olivia Pope to have a dysfunctional family, Cookie is a drug dealer, and Mary Jane, she's just all over the place. And How to Get Away with Murder, she's all over the place. Look at the struggle. So we're going to have to really not get in denial, because, Sean, I feel like you're in denial. You're in denial.
I am not in denial about anything. What I'm saying is I think I'm looking at it from a macro view, and you're looking at it from a micro view. Like, now if what we're going to do is, okay, so we're going to say that Japanese Americans have, you know, post-Hiroshima syndrome because we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, and they moved over here, and they weren't well-received. The Germans that moved over here after World War II and Hitler, they weren't well received either. Now we got post World War II Germanic syndrome. What we need to do is keep our general labels and let everything still fall within them, except trying to isolate ourselves from the rest of humanity.
I don't think you can do that, because the experiences of the black woman are not like any experiences of any other woman. Like, even, okay,
the Jewish woman is not like the experience of any other woman. Like, that's what makes us.
You're correct.
Well,
so if they
we don't see the Jewish women run around trying to get a syndrome.
First of all, I don't think black women are running around trying to get a syndrome. By no means do black women want to own this syndrome. I believe that it is something that is just occurring. I don't think anybody wants to walk around and say, let me slap that label on my head and tell you, when I tell you a thing or two about yourself and you don't like it, now you're going to tell me, oh, I have angry black woman syndrome, so it's an excuse or I get a pass. We're not saying that. What we're saying, again, is that the experience of the black woman, I believe, is unique to the black woman, and it's like no other. And when you talk about it from a systemic standpoint, there are so many other factors that you have to look at, not just slavery, but you're talking about when Moses said the Willie Lynch laws, so we're going to put the light skins against the black skin. You have all those issues that are still prevalent today with black women that impact black women. So you remember a couple years ago we talked about an article on the air where it looked at most desirable women, and Latino women were considered most desirable by men, and second to Latino women were Asian women were considered second most desirable by men, and these were all men of all ethnic groups, and then third most desirable by men were Caucasian women. Black women were not on that scale at all. Black women weren't on there at all. So most desirable women was first Latino, Asian, and then Caucasian. And the reason why they said black women were not on that list as being desirable was because at that time they didn't call it angry black woman syndrome. They just said because black women were angry and aggressive and dominant. So,
which still leads me to the propaganda with your Olivia Pope, your How to Get Away with Murder, your Empire with Cookie, and your Beer and Mary Jane. And what the cross-section of the people asked or interviewed were, I'm still back to this propaganda machine.
Well, it may,
at
it may
point,
be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Dr. Guy, you go.
No, go ahead. Uh-huh.
It may be a propaganda, and I agree, but this is the thing. Although you are trying to protect them from having another label, okay, but we got to put a label on it. You know, you a person don't walk into the grocery store and pick out canned goods with no label in on it because you won't know what's on the inside. It's just, Sean, I understand that you don't want to add to the problem, but you are adding to the problem because I don't think you really want to address the underlying issue. I think you more, you're protecting the title than the underlying issue. Is it about the title or is it about the underlying issue, Sean?
No. The best example I can give you is you have a doctor that's a general practitioner and one that's a cardiologist. You may go to your general practitioner when you have a problem with your heart, but if it's something severe, you go to a cardiologist. What I'm telling you is let's start out with the generic terms that we've discussed from the traumatic syndromes, and if they want a cardiologist or a niche specialist like yourself, that's fine. But let's not start out with the cardiologist.
And believe it or not, my brother, go, doctor, go.
No, I was just going to say I'll agree to go with that, Sean. That makes sense to me.
Like, if we talk about each specific cultural group, then there's cultural issues within that group. What I'm saying is if you want to start out and say, well, hey, Asian women have these problems, you know, they have low rate of breast cancer, black women have uterine fibroids, I get all of that. But what I'm saying is let's get to that point first. Instead of throwing a blanket on all of these problems or syndromes or however we want to define or designate them.
Well, I think what we're doing now through this discussion, we are communicating symptoms. And if there's any listeners that's listening, I guarantee you, especially in the African-American community, they would say, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be independent and over the household. I want help. So I think we talk in general, but if they want to get help, come to a therapist, and we can be more detailed. So I think we're doing it now. We talk in general talk because we only talk in symptoms, which points to the syndromes, a set or characteristics of a disease. But then when they come get help, if they come to the hospital or they come to a therapist, we can get more detail. So I think we're doing it now, Sean.
Well, let's talk about this. I know one thing real quick, Dr. Guy. I know Dr. Guy, one of our favorite books is The Seven Love Languages. you know, why don't you do the 17 languages? Like, maybe it's something that's not specifically to black women, but just situations. So, like, I just got a problem with the black women thing. Because they're,
gotcha,
they're white women that have been abused, they're Asian women, you know, you talked about the older African-American women, I know older Caucasian women. Like, I just think we need to talk about situations and not culturally.
And I am writing a book right now on the six Bang languages, and it's based off of research, and it doesn't have anything to do with color. It's the pattern of the pain. So that book should be out no later than this, the end of this year. So I'm doing that now, Sean.
Great. I will sign off on that. I will purchase it. I'll Facebook, I'll tweet it, but I cannot sign off on no black women's thing.
Yeah.
So, look, we're going to agree, I think, as we begin to come to a close, is that we're going to agree to disagree whether we believe it's a syndrome or not. But what we are agreeing on is that there are definitely symptoms that black women experience that leaves them feeling broken, angry. What was the word that you used, Moses? You said at the beginning of the show you had encountered black women and you said they were angry, but it was another word that you described them as.
Bitter.
Bitter. So it sounds like we're all agreeing that those symptoms are definitely real and that there are a lot of black women that experience that. So at this point, now what is the next step for them? Because as you said, Moses, I don't know any person, white, black, brown, that wakes up and says, I want to be an angry, bitter person. And as a result of me being an angry, bitter person, I want to be by myself for the rest of my life. I don't know anybody
that
says that. So from this point, like, now what do you do with that? Sean, because you're not a clinician, what do you think would help these women to move forward? And Moses, as a clinician, what do you believe can help these women move forward?
Well, I think it still goes back to your health. You know, like we discussed, maybe there's an issue with your thyroid, your adrenal glands, that they are burnt out, not functioning right. So you're stressed all the time. Like, if you can feed your adrenal glands, that might prevent you from being in that constant fight-or-flight mode. And I'm always a good advocate for some good dick, but, you know, that's just me.
My advice that I can give any woman or any man, or especially my African-American sisters, is to understand the difference between your true self and your conditioned self. Your conditionship points to the pattern of pain that people have planted in your life. No, you cannot choose your mother. You cannot choose your color. You cannot choose your father. But you can choose your husband. Stop the pattern of pain. Create new memories. And in the book that I'm writing, Pain Language, I'm teaching people how to point out their language of pain. If your mom or dad abandoned you, please don't pick a man and stay with that man. And you know that man is hurting you, but you don't want to abandon this man. Your pain language is abandonment. Or if you grew up and you were molested, don't devalue yourself. Stop dropping it like it's hot. Pick it up and make something of it. You know. So my advice to African-American sisters and just people in general is to deal with the pain and find purpose in it and create purpose and live in your purpose. And I think that's when an individual will be able to be successful, because they can make sense out of it.
Two good, valid points. Again, we all know someone who would fall in that category of being an angry black woman. I myself have probably been an angry black woman, and I won't even say I probably. I will take ownership of that and say at some point in my life I was an angry black woman for whatever reason or another, but it was the understanding that this is not where I'm supposed to be and this is not where I'm going to stay. I think all of our listeners who are tuning in tonight who are going to go tell people about the show is that one of the things that people have to keep in mind is that whatever it is that we think we become. So if I'm thinking about the things that create the anger and the aggression, all these things are going to keep me acting out and experiencing those same emotions. And so the first thing that I really have to do is I have to change my mindset. I have to change what I'm thinking about, who I'm thinking about, how I'm thinking about it, which is then going to change what I'm experiencing and feeling and doing. And if you're not willing to do that, or you're doing parts of it and not completely changing it, then according to Albert Einstein, then you're insane because you're doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. So to really address the whole angry black woman syndrome means that black women really have to address their own issues and own up to them and be ready to move forward and begin to create a change in their thinking patterns so they can really change everything else about them. So, you guys, we have
Martin Luther King, Dr. Guy, Martin Luther King said this favorite, that never succumb to the temptation of bitterness. And this was the leader of our civil rights movement. So I just want to throw that out before we leave.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to succumb to that whole bitterness. And people can change, and people's lives and experiences can change, and they can change how they feel. You and I witness that on a day-to-day basis. And so I think if people can know that and understand that even though it has not changed for you and it seems like it's going to be this way forever, people change and situations change, and your situation can change as well. So,
correct.
You guys, we have a few minutes left. Any closing remarks before we sign off for tonight?
Sean, I want to hear your closing remarks. Did you understand what I was saying, Sean? Did you understand?
I understand, but you, like we said, we're going to agree to disagree. Like I always tell Dr. Guy, you know, for all the ladies out there, you know, I'm not telling you can't wear pants, but a vagina works better than a skirt. You know, be in touch with your femininity. Stop being so masculine. Get into your feminine power. I know that we try to educate our girls, and the system that we have for schooling is real masculine-based, but you need to rediscover your feminine power, let that go. And once you do that, that'll be one of your first steps to not being so angry.
As always, Sean, you never cease to amaze me.
My closing remarks would be, regardless of what took place in your life, you can't change it, but you can change the way you cope and learn how to forgive, learn how to remain in love with yourself. And I can truly say I love my African-American sister. You know, I've been working with Dr. Guy for years, and I respect Dr. Guy. She taught me a lot, and I love my wife. And I'm going to be honest, the reason why I care so much about the African-American women is because of my mother. She was abused. My grandmother suffered from paranoid. She was a paranoid schizophrenic. She beat my mother from 0 to 20. My mother got beat. My mother was born in the outhouse. She was my grandmother was 14 years old and didn't know she was pregnant. So when she gave birth to my mother, it was in the outhouse. But if you look at it, my mother told me I was not going to stay angry. So because my mother chose not to stay angry, she gave birth to a doctor, which is my brother, a lawyer, which is my brother. I'm about to be a doctor. My younger brother is a doctor. And this was what mother told me. She said, one drop of hate can kill a bowl of love. So continue to love and continue to forgive. My mama did it, and you can do it too.
Thank you so much, Moses. Before we sign out tonight, if people are in the DFW area, how can they contact you?
You can contact me. The name of my practice is Innovative Center Counseling because we're not boxed into therapy, but we keep it real. You can call the number at 972-978-8008, or you can look me up on the website at www.iccounselingtoday.com. And I'm going to be honest, we're going to treat you like a person and not like a patient.
You guys, as always, it's been a blast. I so enjoyed this topic tonight. It was pretty close to me as a black woman. And so you guys, don't forget next week to tune in, same time, Monday night, 7 p.m. Central. Textbook it, text it, tweet it, pass it on Facebook. Everybody have a blessed and safe week. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Moses.
All right, Moses, we're going to get that on Kindle? Where that book coming out at?
It'll be the end of this year. I'm writing on it now, Doc. Okay.
He'll be
okay,
back on the
right.
show. Don't worry. We'll have him back.
All right. We,
everybody
we'll
have
to get there. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.